Podcast. I'm Allison Little, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur who has built businesses and brands for the past decade. I'm passionate about helping high achievers launch to the next level.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Launch Podcast with Allison Little. Today's episode is called Building Empathy with Suman Ghosh. Suman is a co-founder of Inroads Leadership Development. Suman has coached and trained numerous middle to senior management people and executive leadership. He is a coach and trainer of the World Health Organization, part of the United Nations. He's also the co-author of the best-selling book on emotional intelligence named From Command to Empathy, Using EQ in the Age of Disruption. He has done so many different things, has amazing videos on his website talking about growth, mindset, personal development, leadership, all of the things, right? I learned so much from watching those. And he's located actually in India. So I love that this is a global podcast, and I love the opportunity to learn and grow with amazing human beings from all over the globe. So thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much, Allison, for having me on your show and for that very kind introduction. Yes, I'm doing good. I'm hoping you're doing good. And look at the power of technology. We're doing this across the world.
Isn't that so cool? I love that. So Suman, tell me a little bit more about yourself. You know, you have such an amazing background, and I want to share that with our listeners.
Yeah, so I think you covered bulk of it. I have a background in IT. I used to work with some of the companies, top mostly multinational companies like Intel and PricewaterhouseCoopers. So I did a fair amount of the IT work. I also did some consulting, which is both strategy consulting and technology consulting. You know, over the years, I developed a passion for leadership, and it's about human behavior. And at some point, I there's a story behind it as to at some point I said, you know what, let me just do this because I wanted to pursue my passion. So that's my story. During that time, I also wrote a book. We were very fortunate, me and my co-author, that the book got published by HarperCollins. And it's one of its kind in India because not too many, I mean, I don't think anybody else had written a book on emotional intelligence.
Oh my God.
So that's in a nutshell who I am.
Wow. I love that. And also you're a coach and trainer for the World Health Organization. How amazing.
Yeah, that was quite an amazing opportunity to be able to kind of one, be associated with World Health Organization, but also, you know, to be able to do work across the world in different geographies. And because I like observing human behavior, so it's always nice when you're looking at other cultures as well.
Absolutely, right? And isn't it so interesting when you're talking to people from all over the globe, like there's some commonalities, right, that you find, you know, we're more alike than we're different. At least that's what I find in the work that I do. I'll train a leader from across the globe and I'll be like, oh my gosh, we care about our family. We want to make a big difference. We want to help people. Like there's some commonalities that I think are so universal. And once we can kind of have those conversations, it can kind of change things. Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about your main passion or purpose in life.
So my passion right now is to bring change in people. What happened is when I was working in different companies, I had the opportunity to work with not just different companies, but also different types of companies. So you had the technology giants like Intel, where I was working for some time. Some of the companies were more service oriented, for instance, Pricewaterhouse. There were some Indian companies that I worked for, which are predominantly Indian. What I realized is there was a big gap between what the top companies were doing in terms of developing their people and even the next rung of people, the next rung of companies, right? So these could be some of the largest companies here, but I realized that the softer aspects of leadership was not being imbibed and people were just growing into their roles. And that seemed to be a big gap. And that is why I got very interested and it's always been my passion. So right now, what drives me and what excites me is to be in the room and engage with people and help them grow and develop.
Awesome. And that's so amazing. So you actually experience, you know, the differences because you had that, you got to go into different companies and they were developing their leaders in a different way. And you saw that gap in the marketplace and you're like, hey, let's bring some of that development that I'm seeing at these larger corporations to the smaller type organizations and help people.
Yes. Exactly, that's what it was. And I also come from, I wasn't in a support function, for instance, like human resources. I came more from the mainstream. I was in business, I was in strategy. So I have been in some of those discussions, I've been in meetings. So I know exactly kind of how things work, how human behaviors play out, how people behave differently in a group setting as opposed to a one-on-one setting, you know, simple things like that. So I'm happy that I'm able to bring some of those experiences and try in my own little way to kind of, as they say, you cannot change people, you can only change yourself. But I want people to at least reflect and, you know, get them on a journey where they're starting to change themselves, because that's an amazingly transformative journey.
Isn't it? It's so cool, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing to do that transformation. And it's interesting because many people are very open to it. And so if you can be that catalyst that shows up at the right time to help them see their potential or their strengths, it's just amazing to see that light bulb go off in their eyes. That's one of my favorite parts of the work that I do too. Your book is on emotional intelligence. And as you said, this is one of the only books that, you know, people in your country have written on emotional intelligence. So it's called From Command to Empathy: Using EQ in the Age of Disruption. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, so the book is talking about emotional intelligence, and we've used a framework in that. We're talking about, you know, and it's a concept of being, right? So how do you get more emotionally intelligent? So it's about being mindful and being reflective, right? Being empathetic. So like that, there are a few chapters which are devoted to that. There's one chapter on just millennials, how millennials are different, right? Because today, see, what we realized is that it's end of the day, EQ is a pretty heavy topic, and we didn't want it to sound like an academic book, right? Not pedantic. So we put in a lot of stories, we put in a lot of anecdotes, we looked at what was happening around us and tried to link it to emotional intelligence, to self-awareness. How are people managing themselves? What kind of empathy are they showing? What kind of relationships are they building? So the book revolves around that. The interesting part was when we wrote this book a few years back, empathy was still one of those peripheral words. Nobody was talking about empathy, right? The way I saw it is that companies were struggling with the way they were managing people, which is what I call the command and control style, which has been there forever, right? Now, a lot of things were changing. The ground was almost shifting, right? But people were still trying to do command and control, and it was not working. Now, companies were figuring out that, you know, we need something else, but they were not very clear as to, sure as to what that new thing would be, right? They were in a state of transition or flux. Our sense, me and my co-author, is we felt that empathy was the only way to go. Interestingly, now as we stand, everybody's talking about empathy thanks to the pandemic, right? Suddenly the world has woken up to empathy, okay? At that time, nobody talked about empathy. So today companies are saying, hey, how do we build empathy? So we do a lot of work around empathy. I try to demystify it, keep it simple. What does empathy mean? Mm-hmm. And how can you actually?
What does it mean? Sorry to interrupt you, but what does empathy mean for our listeners who are going, yeah, I hear about that, but I just really don't know what that means?
Yeah, so I'm sure you've heard about it. Most listeners would have heard about it because that's quite a buzzword right now. Yeah. But if you ask people, you might get different responses as to what empathy is, because some people confuse it with sympathy, some people just confuse it with certain other notions that they have. So if I have to put it very simply, I think it's about putting yourself in the other person's shoes, right? That is what empathy is. Now, it is about thoughts and feelings. Now, the point is, sympathy was always around the thoughts itself, right? So I see something, I can be pretty detached from it, and I just feel bad for the person. Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry it happened to that guy. I'm sympathizing, but I'm not empathizing because there's no feelings involved. It's only a cognition. But even empathy has a cognitive part and an affective part, which is you think what the other person is thinking, also feel what the other person is feeling, right? In the corporate setting, the cognitive empathy is very important because, and we've had people like that, you know, we in our working life, we've had managers, you walk into the room and the manager says, I know exactly what you're thinking, okay? They had this uncanny knack of knowing exactly what was going on in your head. That's a classic example of cognitive empathy. But cognitive empathy is not sympathy, in my view. A lot of people think that the thinking part is sympathy, because the difference is, even if it's cognitive empathy, you're putting yourself in the other person's shoes. You've entered the other person's world. You're still not in your world. To me, that is the fundamental difference. Okay. So empathy, to put it very simply, is about putting yourself in the other person's shoes, understand his or her motives, the way they're thinking, the way they're feeling. I can go on. This is my area of passion, but I'll stop here.
Yes, absolutely. So empathy, the simplest definition is putting yourself in other people's shoes. And I think, you know, one of the things that I found is as soon as we can do that, we grow in our connection with others, yeah. Right? And so Let's talk a little bit in that space of, you know, we want to connect with others, but first we have to empathize with what their perspective is on the world, right? Like everybody has a different experiences that they bring into the work that they do or into everywhere that they go. They have different stories and experiences that they bring with them, a narrative, right? And so how do we build connections in that space of using that empathy? You know, now we stopped, we said, okay, how does that other person feel? How does Suman feel right now? And then now I want to build a connection with you. What does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it all starts with the right mindset, what I call the empathy mindset. So it could be quite a few things. So the first is about focusing on the other person. And there is a story which I say, which is one of my favorite ones, very simple one, where this guy who's sitting, he was sitting on a bench in the park, and there was a runner who was passing by, asked this guy, what time is it? So he looked at his watch and he told him the time, and this guy went. And within less than a minute, this another runner came by, not knowing that there was a guy before him, and asked this guy, what is the time? And this guy knew what the time was, but he looked at his watch. He put out his arm like that, looked at his watch for a while, and then told him the time. And after this guy went, the other guy who was sitting next to him in the bench asked him, hey, I'm curious, why did you have to look at the watch again? Because you knew exactly what the time was. And this guy said, yeah, I knew, but this guy who asked me, he didn't. Okay, so if I just told him the time, he won't believe me. He would think I'm just guessing, right? So, and I love that story because he's always thinking from the other person's point of view. He's always thinking how the other person is looking at the world, right? And I think that is what is difficult. We are always so much caught up in our own heads. We need to get out of our own heads and get into the other person's world. So that, I think, first thing is focus on the other person, which is incredibly hard to do. You know, it's easier said than done. And all these things about empathy and EQ, I keep saying, you know, they're extremely easy, but incredibly hard to do. Easy to understand, but very hard to do. So the first thing is about getting out of your head, right? It is also about respect. It's also about value. Do I have those values in myself? Now, why do I want to spend time with Allison and get to know her better? Because there has to be a certain mutual respect. There has to be certain mutual value. The fact that I can learn something from her. There needs to be a certain amount of gratitude, right? Today, especially, let's take a pandemic case. You know, it's very important for managers to show gratitude, to empathize. Do you know what the other person is going through? Maybe that other person is going through a hell of a lot at home, right? Who knows? You know, they may have a sick parent or whatever. Now, how do you respond is the next part. Do you even know? Because most of our discussions are very transactional today. So how much effort are you taking in just understanding the other person's point of view, where they're coming from, right? That's empathy. So that is about, you know, really trying to build curiosity and trying to get to know the other person. It's also about taking a long-term view, because short-term, if I take a view, I say, hey, you know what, how does it matter to you? Why should I get to know Allison better? Because we're just doing a podcast and we're done in 30 minutes and off we go, right? That's a very short-term, and this is what's happening in organizations, because, you know, it's what I call an expiry mindset. You know, you think people can be kind of changed. You can always get somebody else. If I have that mindset, I'll never focus on really building a connect, which is more long-term. It takes more effort. But why do I want to invest in that effort if I'm taking a short-term view? Okay. It's also about, you know, we often label people. That's the other problem that we have. You know, before the person is coming in, you're labeling somebody, saying, hey, this guy is, you know, he's lazy, and this guy is not reliable, and what have you. That takes away from building empathy. And the last is, of course, I mean, among the key ones is humility. Because without humility, I don't think we can build empathy. We can build respect. Interestingly, there's a study which says the more powerful you become, the less empathetic you become. And it's fascinating because in organizations, as you grow up, there are people, the reason they have grown up is they have shown more empathy. And suddenly when they reach the top, the very thing that got them to the top, suddenly they lose it. They build some kind of an entitlement mindset, right? you start commanding, you start demanding things from people, right? Because you feel your position gives you that. And that is a very fascinating thing. So I think for leaders, it's very important to remember, you know, you have to remember that empathy is critical, because there is a tendency you lose it, and because you will get into an entitlement mindset.
That's amazing. Well, and I think that's important for us to recognize as leaders, right? If we're going to show up and we are going to be empathetic to the people on our team or to our clients or customers, we have to get through that mindset, and we have to be humble and understand, you know, you could have the position, you could not have the position tomorrow, right? And so recognizing that, being humble, being appreciative of where you're at and how you get to help serve in that role, I think is a beautiful thing. So that's interesting. One of the other things that you talk about with empathy is, you know, some of the behaviors that you need to have. Tell us a little bit more about that, because, you know, you just talked about, you know, some of the things that we need to think about: humility, gratitude, connecting with those other people, understanding them on a deeper level, growing in our relationships. But now it's like, you know, okay, what are the behaviors we need to have in order to be more empathetic and really understand that other person?
Great. That's a great question again. And I personally believe that I always try to separate between mindset and behavior. So mindset is how I'm approaching it. It's all below the surface. You're not able to see my mindset. You can only see my behavior. Behavior is something you observe, right? Mm-hmm. Now, as a leader, if I'm showing empathy, the first thing that I have to safeguard against is not have conditional empathy. And often leaders make this mistake, right? It's conditional. So you are good to me, I'm good to you. I show a lot of empathy. But if I don't like you, there is no empathy for you, right? So, and that's what happens often in organizations. We have a leader has a large team. Without he or she realizing, they're probably empathetic to a few people. Now, other people don't see it as empathy. Other people see it as playing favorites, right? So they know the boss has favorites, and it does much more damage to the culture of the organization, right? So one is, in terms of behavior, we have to make sure we are showing to everybody, not just to a few. So that's one thing I think we need to be very cognizant about. The second is we have to be very clear as to how far do we go. Let's say I have a team member who's in hospital, right? And maybe they're down with something or COVID or whatever. Now, how do I respond? Do I go to the hospital and meet that person, right? Or do I speak to the family member? And I'm not advocating that every time you have to go and meet that person in the hospital, but you have to be clear about what your strategy is. What behavior are you showing? Because the problem is, it should not happen you do it for the first three people and then stop doing it for the next few people. Because as a leader, everybody is observing you, right? And those have huge ramifications. So we have to be consistent in how we behave. Simple things, just like having one-on-ones with people, right? How much time? In fact, so many companies are telling me, hey, I need to build empathy. Today I was talking to a company and they said, you know, I want them to actually pick up the phone and talk to their people. And my point is, how difficult is that? Or how easy is that? Why do we need to get into a room to discuss it? Because the point is, and this is my other favorite thing, is what I call the knowing-doing gap. And psychologists have always wondered as to why there is such a gap between knowing and doing. The reason that the manager is not picking up the phone is not because he doesn't know. It's not that someone suddenly has this aha thing saying, oh, you know what? It makes sense to call this guy. This guy knows, but he still doesn't call, right? And there are a whole bunch of things that can prevent him from calling. And those are the biases. A whole bunch of things can come into play. Limiting beliefs. So we need to address those. The other behavior is about listening. And listening is a key skill. And today everybody is talking of listening. How do you avoid distractions? How do you stop multitasking? How do you create an environment where you're listening? How are you paraphrasing? In the role plays that we do, we always talk of paraphrasing, but I've noticed that that is the one thing most people actually avoid or don't do, either because they feel it's not worth the time or it's not worth the effort. It's just waste of time. Not realizing, and because they're not in a solution mode. See, you always like to be in a solution mode. When I'm paraphrasing, I'm not in a solutions mode. I'm just playing back what I've heard from you, right? And that's the thing we often miss. Empathy is not about problem solving. Empathy is about connecting. So people feel connected when they feel heard, right? And you will feel heard when I replay back what I've heard from you, as opposed to giving you a solution. So I think paraphrasing becomes very critical. And the same holds true for asking questions, right? We ask open questions. We ask deeper questions. There's a whole bunch of techniques available. But, you know, I always try to keep it simple. I say, you know what, forget about the techniques. Tell me one thing. How often when you're talking as a leader, how often do you stop and ask your team, what do you think?
Right? Oh my gosh. I have to tell you something. So I was leading a nonprofit board, and I would come with the answer that I thought that we should do, right? I would come with a strategy. And one day I was like, this is too hard. I don't have all the answers. I'm around brilliant people. I need to just come up with a challenge or the problem that we need to solve and say, what do you think? Let's fix it. I don't know what to do. And I literally started to come with all of these, you know, here's our issue. Let's brainstorm it. Let's think about it. Y'all are brilliant. I can't do this by myself. Let's go. As soon as I did that, number one, our relationships grew. We were able to solve challenges and problems that I couldn't solve by myself because I didn't have the experience or I didn't have the same perspective as some of the people on the board. And so a lot of times I think as leaders, we get in this mindset that we need to know everything. And if we can get out of our own way, right? Like ego aside, get out of our own way and say, how can I serve these people? And how can we solve really big challenges together? It's a beautiful thing because that connection and that, you know, and empathy, like one of the other things that I did is I didn't realize how important relationship building was as a leader because I was in business and I wanted to get stuff done and make money and build revenues and have sales and all those things. Well, I worked in a nonprofit and that mindset is in there. You need to have empathy all the time, every single conversation, which was beautiful for me to learn as a leader. And so I think I learned empathy working in a nonprofit because if you've ever worked with a nonprofit or a nonprofit leader, they're very empathetic. It comes natural to many of them to care a lot about others, right? And I think in the business world, people aren't taught that. And it sounds like the work that you do is really to help people see how important that connection and that empathy and caring about others is and putting yourself in the shoes of others to help them.
Absolutely. In fact, good you brought that up about the last point where you said, what do you think? And the moment you say, what do you think? It opens up a communication channel. It's also about being vulnerable. And that's one of the behaviors also, right? We have to show vulnerability because that's what opens up what we are now calling psychological safety. So we create safety by doing that.
Absolutely. And that's another thing you're not taught because at least for me as a leader, and I'm just giving my personal perspective, is that I thought I had to be a certain type of leader, right? I thought this is what success looks like. I have to show up as this type of person. But as soon as I just started to show up as myself, like, hey, this is who I am. This is what happened. This is what I'm thinking about. It was crazy because everybody else felt more comfortable in being their authentic self. And when you're being your authentic self, your level of creativity and innovation and imagination and solving really challenging problems, just like it just expands. Whereas if we have this mask on, it's harder for us to do that. So I can't wait to ask you this question. We can't forget this question. What are the two things in your life that you've done to launch to the next level, Suman?
So let me narrate a quick story as to how I got into this field. So I was, as I said, I was in IT and jokingly, I tell people I was a boring IT person, very left brain, very analytical. I always thought emotions was not right up there along with the rational, right? I went for an interview and it was for a very senior role in an organization and they sent me for an assessment. I thought it would be just an hour or two. It turned out to be almost a whole day where I had to go to another organization and they ran me through a battery of tests. And one of them was a case study, which I had to study and just convince the other guy. So there was a role play. So this other guy who was assessing me sat on the other side of the table. The role play was about this. I read the case study. I was supposed to kind of convince him about some decision. Let's just say decision A. There were two decisions, A or B. So I had to choose one. So I did that and I presented it and he said, are you done? I said, yeah. He said, I'm sorry, Suman, but I'll not go with what you're saying. And I was kind of taken aback. I said, was my analysis wrong? I always took pride in my analysis, right? Remember, I was this analytical guy and I went to, you know, the top schools in India, whether it's IIT and IIM, very left brain stuff. And he said, no, that it's been spot on. That got me even more confused. I said, then what was the problem? He said, I didn't see much energy and emotion. And I came home that night and saying, what is he talking about? What is this energy? I had my analysis right. I mean, why do you need energy and emotion? And that actually paved the world and opened up an entire new world for emotional intelligence for me. I now realize why emotions are what moves people, not logic.
Emotions are what moves people, not logic. Oh, yeah. That is so good. Launch listeners, if you don't get anything else, I know you're going to get so much from this, but if you don't get anything else other than that quote, that is a beautiful thing because it's true. I mean, think about it. Think about the stories and the emotions that you felt. Some of the most meaningful moments in your life, it wasn't the logic, it was the emotion that you felt. How you felt in that moment changed you. We can be those leaders who are helping people tap into their emotions, into their, if it's positive emotions, whatever it looks like that's where change happens.
So I've been very happy. I've been very fortunate. The fact that because I changed this, it has also had a profound impact on my life itself. I think I have almost undergone a transformation over the last few years, probably more than what I have done in the last 20 years of my working life. It was almost an awakening in a way where I suddenly I'm trying to, and I'm not saying I've reached there. It's a journey, you know, trying to be more self-aware, trying to manage my emotions better. So I heard a beautiful quote. It says, most people grow old before they grow wise. So, and I think emotional intelligence is really the one which makes you wise, where you're able to kind of watch yourself as a person. You know, it's almost like a third person watching you. And I think that's very powerful. And as I say, this is a journey of a lifetime. I'm better, but I still have a long way to go.
So good. What an amazing story. So really understanding about your energy and emotions, and then also, you know, really tapping into who you are and recognizing how important that self-reflection and that self-awareness are to living out your fullest potential. Because if you can be that true, authentic self, now you can serve people in a different way and have that bigger impact, which is beautiful. It's amazing. And that's actually what I love to do. That's why we have these podcasts, right? I was telling Subin before we even started, I said, you know, I'm just excited to talk to you because you align with how I think about people, right? If we can tap into their potential, if we can help them see their strengths and abilities, there's nothing that's stopping them. And if we can connect with them and empathize with where they're at in the world and maybe some struggles and challenges that have stopped them in the past, now we can move forward in such a beautiful way. And that transformation is an awesome thing. So Subin, I could talk to you all day long. We have to wrap up this episode. So how do people get a hold of you?
Oh, that's easy. Today we are in a connected world. I have my website, and our company is called Inroads Leadership. So if you just type that, we are based out of India and all our numbers are whereabouts are there. So just drop us a line or give us a call and we are happy to connect.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Subin. Thank you for sharing your expertise in empathy, connecting with others, and really helping us understand people better, right? And human potential. And for all of our Launch listeners who gained so much from this amazing episode, make sure you share it with your friends, your family, your colleagues, the people in your company. It is an awesome story of really helping you connect with others and having that emotional intelligence to move forward. And I look forward to talking to you in our next episode. Thanks again and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Launch Podcast. I'm Allison Little, and I'm so excited that you spent your time with me. Look for future episodes and connect with me on social media or at my website at www.allisonlittle.com.